Hebrews chapter 11, it says that there was those who died who didn't even see the promises or the answers, but God still answered those prayers. Amen and amen. It will be by faith. There is not the beginning, the author and finisher of our faith is Jesus Christ. Amen. So everything that God is doing in your life and my life, saints, is by faith. It's by faith. God is reward. He's a rewarder of those who believe his word. If the promises of God are yes and amen, then those promises come about by faith. By faith. The world can mock. The world can laugh about it. But I already know by what God has done in my life and continues in my life that faith is powerful. Faith is powerful. Let me encourage you today to continue to stand by faith. He is with you. He is, if you know him, he is in you. He loves you. He's for you and not against you. Amen. The enemy, he spends your entire life trying to convince you that God is not with you. That's what he does. If you know him already, he tries to spend your entire life to convince you somehow that God's not with you. But when you stand by faith, you don't listen to the lies of the enemy, you begin to understand the love and character of Jesus Christ in your life, and you begin to move forward and seeing slowly but surely as God begins to answer prayers, as God continues to be with me, as God continues to lead and direct my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you in that same boat? It's a good boat to be in. It's the boat that Jesus reached out to Peter, who was walking on some water, and all of a sudden he was looking around at what was going around and said, "Oh, well, I have no business walking on water." Did Jesus let him sink? No, he reached out his hand and said, "Come on." He could have said, "Man, Peter, if you just had a little bit more faith. Peter, if you had just been a little bit more holy. Peter, if you could just have figured it out, you wouldn't have sunk." I thank God that he doesn't allow us to sink. Amen. That the faith that raised Jesus, that power, and Jesus putting his faith in God his Father is what raised him from the dead, and that same spirit dwells in me. Hallelujah. I'm preaching this morning. I haven't even got to my notes. So I'm glad that we got till noon. Amen. But I'm here to encourage your faith. Amen. Faith. Don't discount faith. Amen. Faith is what's allow you to experience him supernaturally. It will be by faith. Don't wait to experience something supernaturally and then have faith. No, allow your faith to experience Jesus Christ supernaturally. To experience him. Faith is what does that work. Amen? I love faith. How about you? Encouraging myself this week, thank you for faith. Thank you that I'm standing firm. Thank you that sometimes my knees get wobbly, Father God, but you strengthen me. Thank you, Father God, for the household of faith in Jesus' name. Thank you that it'll be faith that's going to change our area in Jesus' name. And declaring the word of God through a mouth and a heart filled with faith is what's going to change our area. Amen? It's what's going to change our county. It's what's going to change our state. It's what's going to change this nation. It's all rooted and grounded in faith in Jesus Christ. If we're going to experience the supernatural, it's going to be rooted and grounded in faith. Amen. What did Jesus say? What did he say to Thomas? We'd like to say doubting Thomas. He says, "You believe that because you've seen." He says, "But bless those who have not seen but yet still believe." Amen. Don't tell me that faith isn't all powerful. It's only by faith that you believe that your sins have been forgiven. Amen. Have you seen evidence of it? No, you've believed that your sins are forgiven by faith and the power of faith in our lives. I think this morning the Lord wants to encourage our faith. It's the faith that when you have those disagreements with your wife or your husband, or those struggles with a son or daughter, that you continue to believe by faith that God is a restorer and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And part of I've come to realize diligently seeking him is saying, I will not let go of my faith in you. I'm not going to let go regardless of what I see. And when we stand firm in faith, then we see those things in the supernatural. See, he's already accomplished everything in the supernatural for us, being at the right hand of the Father, amen? Having filled us with the Holy Spirit, we access that through faith. Don't you love your faith? Precious is the faith of his children. Precious is the faith of his church. Precious is the faith that will get us to the very end day when finally that final trump sounds and the dead in Christ will rise and all of us who remain in the body will be caught up in the air ever to be with the Lord. Hallelujah! All accomplished by faith. Your faith moves mountains. Your faith moves mountains. Out of our mouth declaring, saying this mountain to be plucked up and cast into the sea. Us declaring it with the words, but those words are backed up with faith. By faith, the mountains that will come against us, the mountain of sin or shame is removed by the blood of Jesus. Those mountains that stand before us that keep us crippled, amen, or keep us from experiencing or growing in Christ are removed by faith and declaring to this mountain, the mountain in your life saying, hey, get out of my way in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? In the Running the Race Part 4, 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul says, therefore I do not run without a definite goal. He says a definite goal in the Amplified. He says, I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. He says, I have a definite goal. Paul, I understand he was an apostle. He had his ministry, and we don't have that same calling as Apostle Paul, but did you know we have a definite goal or even the same goal that Paul had? When you look at it, what is that? Number one, Paul's goal should be our goal. And it's pretty simple. What was Paul's goal? Well, that goal is in Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Amen. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, and I love verse 17. Sometimes we'll just repeat 16, but 17 is also powerful. It says, for in it the righteousness of God, the righteousness of who? Not my righteousness, his righteousness. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from what? Faith to faith. There it is. Faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous one will live by faith. And so it's the same thing for you and I, that we believe that in the power of the gospel, salvation, and what salvation means. Does salvation just mean that we're saved from an eternity in hell? Oh, well, that's part of it, definitely. But salvation encompasses so much more. If you look at what salvation means in the Greek, it means his prosperity over my life. His protection over my life. Him leading and guiding my life. Him being my healer, my deliverer, my rewarder, my protector, my strength. All of this is what the meaning of salvation is in that Greek word. And how was it attained? But the righteous one will live by faith. Wow. Thank you, Father, for the power of faith. So it's revealed by faith. And he says, for his righteousness God revealed from faith to faith, growing in him. The faith that you have for today, God's going to form it. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to prove himself. And you're going to go from growth to growth. It means faith to faith, saying, Lord, I'm growing in my understanding of you. Lord, I'm growing in my confidence in you. And Lord, I can believe in you doing things through me and in me in this world that I never believed 5 years ago, or I never believed a month ago. Faith to faith is just moving in this race of life with God as we mature and grow in him. Aren't you glad that you're maturing and growing in him? Do you have an amen out there? Are you awake yet? And I just remind you that I spoke a couple of weeks ago, the question mark, I'm in a race. You may have not thought of it like that. There's many things and many analogies that the Bible talks about human beings and us walking with God. How about that? We're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You're like a tree. Whatever he shall do shall prosper. Amen? The ungodly are not sober like the chaff which the wind driveth away. All these different analogies of you and I being like a tree. Amen. This one, Paul was talking about being in a race. So you're saying, I'm in a race. I mentioned that people will say, I just want to pay the rent. And paying the rent is a good thing. Don't you agree? I just want to provide the next meal for my family. I mean, obviously, that is a good thing. I just want to make it to Friday, the weekend, right? Amen? But we already know Monday's the best day of the week anyway, right? Right? So when people say, thank God it's Friday, and you said, yes, it's all is good because it'll be Monday before you know it. Amen and amen. I just need to find a way to fund my 401k before I'm dead. That's okay, right? I mean, those things are okay. I want to finish high school, just get my driver's license. We all are doing things that we accomplish that are part of this life, day-to-day things, and that's okay. Going fishing, I heard, is part of life. Amen? Golfing can be part of life. Spending vacation with your family is part of this race. Enjoying yourself is part of the race. I don't want to say that. I don't want you to think that being in the race or walking with God is just like buckling down and all your time in prayer. Prayer is good, or all your time doing religious activities. Those things could be good, but I'm telling you, they're only part of the race. Jesus would get away and spend time with his disciples, would he not? Amen. When I hear people start railing against activity, normal life activities, or if I even hear people spending all their time just railing against sin, I know in their own lives there's a problem. Now, I know sin's not good at all, but I know it's only the grace of God that sets a person free. But people can spend their whole time just focusing on a microscope on their sins, and then inevitably the sins of others. Saints, that's not the race. Because people need to see that walking with Christ, that there's actually joys in life. They need to see that there's joys in life, that a Christian can laugh, can hang out with others, enjoy time with one another. They'll know you're my disciples, Jesus said, by your love for one another. The world needs to know love. I was reading a story yesterday about, I don't know where country it was, but it was a guy that had helped in this city, in this area, start a church of Satan. And his life was a mess. And anyway, so he went to this radio program and he gave an interview. And so he gave an interview about the church of Satan in this area and what they offer and so forth and so forth. And when he got done with that, this gal who interviewed him gave him this hug and said, I love you. And that's all she said to him. But and he thought, man, that's odd. And he said he felt funny. He didn't know what that was about. And he continued on for some weeks going back to that. Why did that gal hug me like that? And I felt so odd. And then he said in the middle of the night, he had a dream. And he said that Jesus came to me. And he wasn't a Christian at all. Jesus came to me and said, man, I love you. And he went back to that hug. And he said that voice in that dream felt just like that hug. So he went back and found that gal. And he said, man, I had this dream. I don't quite understand. Jesus telling me he loved me, and it felt just like when you gave me a hug. And she right then and there gave him the gospel. He gave his life to Jesus with that church he started, amen, and started being a minister of the gospel. This day and age, as we stand up for truth, amen, it's not always to stand in love. It's not easy to stand in love. But her, for some reason, being compelled by the Spirit of God to hug him, and God's love sets the captive free. Amen. Man, let me just say right now, if you haven't experienced his love, if you haven't experienced Jesus Christ who died for your sins, to wash them all away by his blood. If you'll put your faith in him, his Holy Spirit will come inside you. You'll become a believer, and you'll start this race of walking by faith. Amen. It's a good walk. There's no other race in the world like it. Amen. Let me say number two. Point one was Paul's goal should be our goal. Number two, this race starts out by acknowledging him. I love Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 7. We got a lot of scripture today. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Verse 4, so you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. Well, you say, well, how do we do this? Well, we know that in Hebrews, and also in another book in the Old Testament, says that when prophesying that when Jesus would come and rise from the dead, that he would put his spirit and his law within our heart. So it's the work of the Holy Spirit, let me say in this race, that in your heart and in your life that he does, it says, bind them around your neck. Let kindness, and it says, so you will find favor and good reputation. Let me tell you, the thing in this race is acknowledging him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. As I've grown more mature in age and in the Lord, I always acknowledge him. Lord, lead me and direct me. Lord, you show me the path I should go. Lord, should I be involved in this or not? Lord, should I do this or not? I acknowledge him in all my ways. That is part of the race of saying, Lord, I acknowledge you in all my ways, that you would lead me in the paths of kindness. Lord, that you would lead me in the paths of peace. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, you the one that sees all the pitfalls that could be in front of me. Lord, show those to me. I acknowledge you. When I was younger, you do that when you're young and you're kind of cocky. Was anybody young and kind of cocky? And you kind of knew everything? You remember those days? One thing about, you know, some of us, I should say. And I remember I knew the Lord, but I had a hard time acknowledging him. I was like, I know what I'm doing. I got this. I don't need to ask anybody. But as I've grown in him and everything, I talk with my wife, number one. I talk with the Lord, because we're not in unity on it, right, if you're married. But I've learned that walking in this race, is I acknowledge him in all my ways. That's part of faith. Trust in him, saying, Lord, if I acknowledge you, Lord, if I ask, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask. Amen? Amen. Let him ask. Amen. So number two, the race is to acknowledge him. How many in here have acknowledged him? How many has learned to say, Lord, thank you for leading and guiding me. I don't care what the economy does. Lord, I know you're going to lead and guide me. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that you're going to bless and lead my life because he's faithful. Amen. Number three, trust Jesus in your race. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, do not be anxious. Do we have any anxiety in today's society? Amen. Man, sometimes it seems like you've got to be pushing against anxiety day after day after day. Depending on what you see, depending on what you hear, what's going on around there, you could be facing anxiety day after day. But what did Jesus say? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Listen to this, saints. This seems foolishness. In the natural, Jesus saying this, it seems foolish. What do you mean? Trust him. It's up to me. Man, if I've learned anything, saints, it's not up to me. I trust him, and I'm going to say something bold. It's up to him. It's up to him. Do I need to go to the handheld? Sorry, guys.
Amen. That's more better. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Did you hear that? Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Man, does that mean we don't prepare and do things? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I know even in my preparedness, I don't know what's ahead, but He does. I know that He's going to make my path straight. I know that He's going to take care of my needs. Amen? I know that I'm believing for that. How about you? Because when you see, you hear the news or the economy or what's going on or the decisions that this government makes that are contrary to sound judgment, you can be very anxious. Amen? You can be anxious. So I have to realize, and as God, as I believe God to turn things around in this nation, amen, us that believe in Him, I'm believing we're going to be blessed. I'm not going to be anxious. If it means, if Jesus said don't be anxious, that must mean that He has a plan. That must mean that He's going to take care of me, amen? I have to dare believe that even in the midst of all that, that He's going to still, what, bless me. That I can still be a blessing to others. That I can give to the needs of others as God has blessed me. Amen, that's good stuff right there. Verse 32 again, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Amen? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness. Amen? My righteousness, it says, is as filthy rags. Amen? I believe that Jesus, if He's willing to live inside me by the Holy Spirit, as I'm growing in Him, He better be my righteousness or I am in trouble. But I'm confident in Him. I said, even in the middle of the struggles, I'm confident in Him that He still lives in me and is still growing me and leading and guiding me, and He's patient with me. I mean, one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Boy, Jesus is patient. One of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness. Boy, He's kind to me. How about you? Boy, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Man, those are things that are Him, His fruit, who He is, that dwells in the inside of me, that are mine for the taking. See, the world needs to see people that aren't anxious. They need people to say, well, why aren't you anxious? Why aren't you fretting? Why do you have a peace about you that I don't understand? And that is what is attractive about the gospel of grace. I said, that's what's attractive about the gospel of grace. Amen? Amen and amen. That's what's attractive about the gospel of grace. And it says, and all these things will be added to you. I'm telling you, what I love about God is He's wonderful at math. He removes all my sins. And He adds all these wonderful benefits to my life. He's my Father. I've been adopted by Him. He loves when we ask for His provision. The world needs to see people asking God for provision, for protection, for His goodness. Asking how He loves answering prayers, saints. Oh, how He loves to answer our prayers. And then I love verse 34, says, therefore, say, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So you can say, Lord, I'm anxious about this thing that's out in the future. Let me just encourage you today. Say, Lord, I give that to you. Because it says that He will lead me besides green pastures. He'll lead me beside still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Oh, He loves to prepare a table. Who's our enemy? The god of this world, Satan. He loves to rub Satan's nose in it when he says, look, this child is putting their trust in me, and I am blessing their lives, and you can't do anything about it, Slewfoot. Amen? I'm telling you, God loves to bless His children. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, I'm sorry for you. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to show you off to the world, not out of pride, but showing, look what I am able to do. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Amen and amen. That's what the world needs to see. You know, I was reading where it says that anxiety, was reading where 76% of U.S. adults struggle with some form of anxiety. With the lockdowns, no schools, the effects on the children, the economy, inflation, all the border, everything else, the schools, everything that we face, man, anxiety could be something that's at the forefront of our lives day after day after day after day. But I don't know about you, for me is this. Number one, I'm saying, Lord, by faith, I'm trusting you. It says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. So today, saying, Lord, in this race of life, this race of we've only got so much time, Lord, I'm not going to spend it being anxious all the time. Lord, I'm not going to allow myself to be ruled. Did you hear that? Ruled by anxiety or fear. But Lord, putting my trust and faith in the living God who lives in me, who, if you know him as your personal Savior, Lord, that you are, I'm putting all that anxiety on you. Sometimes you got to do it. Sometimes when anxiety rules your life, you got to rebuke anxiety, rebuke that lying spirit in Jesus' name that whispers in your ear, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do next week? How things are going to work out? I'm telling you, there's a demonic flow, a demonic presence that loves to talk in the ear of saints if he can get their attention. And if he gets their attention and that's the voice they hear, then they don't even think about those scriptures about, hey, cast all your cares upon me. Cast all your anxiety on me, for I care for you. So reminding yourself by faith, saying, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you care for me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that I belong to you. And I cast all my cares upon you, for you care for me. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall guard your hearts. So you go from hearing the voice of the enemy to having the peace of God guard your heart, where you start recognizing that voice. You say, get out of here in Jesus' name. I'll not hear it anymore. I'll not put up with that anymore. I've had enough hypertension. I've had enough of the ulcer. I've had enough of the fear and anxiety. Go in Jesus' name, and allowing the word of God to dwell and rule in my life. Amen and amen. It's good preaching because that's the word of God. I say that's the word of God. I mean, you preach the word of God, you're safe, aren't you? Amen? Amen. The word of God is true. So remember, Paul, number four, Paul calls it a race. And just a reminder, we only have one life to live. You remember when I said reincarnation? No, you got one go around, one go around. If you're believing in reincarnation, that's a negative. No. It's appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. Amen? Death, and then there's nothing. I just die. No. You're an eternal being, one way or the other, on the inside of you. You're an eternal being. It's just not that you die, then nothing. Amen. No, you have a choice to make, to come to the loving Father who cares for you, who made you for a purpose, that if you'll accept him by faith, you don't have to worry about the future. I'm telling you, there may be struggles in the race, but if you'll put your trust in him, he would love to take care of you. He would love to restore relationships in your life. He would love to restore things that have been broken, things that have been a mess. God would love to restore those things. Now all you can do is answer for yourself. You can't answer for other people, right, what they do, but you can for you. Amen. I love what Joshua said. The children of Israel doing what they did over and over, man. They were fickle, couldn't make up their mind. Are we going to walk with God or not? But what did Joshua say? As for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. Today I say, as for me, my house, we're going to put our trust in the grace of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then it goes on to say that God has prepared us for good works that have come, that he preordained for us before even the beginning of time, that we might walk in them. But it's always going to be by his grace. It's always going to be by his strength. Amen? Or you don't just die and become part of the universe. Amen? No. It's a choice you have to make. I plead with you here, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, that you would accept his love. That you would accept his love. That you wouldn't delay. That you wouldn't harden your heart or say, I can come to him tomorrow. Maybe next week I'll give it some thought. No, I would implore you today to give your life to him. Oh, how he loves you. Enough that God gave his very best, Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins. Let me say, the sins of the world. But for this morning, you have to say, Lord, I believe that he died for my sins. Oh, how he loves you and I. You know, as I continue, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I think horses are like people in a lot of ways. You know, horses can be stubborn, right? You know, they like to eat. Does everybody like to eat here? When it's time to feed a horse, have you seen how they, you know, they're ready to go. And so across the street from where I live and right out in my office, there's a property that has horses. And I can just see when it gets close for breakfast, for dinner, man, they are ready. I feel the same way. How about you? So when I say horses are like people, horses can be stubborn, right? They like to eat. They like to play. Some can bite. Man, you don't want to get bit by a horse. Some are lazy. Some like to work. But I believe horses like to be loved and to have a purpose. Yeah. They do. You know, they're not human. I'm not saying they're human. I'm not saying they have a soul, but they've got a lot of qualities that I see that people do. They really do. And so I switch it on my notes. I have what is called 1A right now, 1A. And so a horse race can be likened into the race of life. Are you still with me? Are you hanging in there? You remember Secretariat, the Triple Crown winner of 1973? Been a long time ago, right? So this Triple Crown consisted of the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and the Belmont Stakes. Maybe some of you have seen those races on TV or maybe even in person. And so this gal named Penny Chenery, she inherited Meadow Stables in Virginia. Let me tell you a little story. Sounds awesome, but the horse farm that she inherited was on the verge of bankruptcy. But Penny's dad, just before he had passed away, had paid for and arranged the chance to have a foal, an offspring from a respected racehorse. This racehorse had sired two colts, and one of the foals looked very promising. The other foal was gangly, clumsy, and did not look like Kentucky Derby material. It came down to a coin flip with one other horse stable owner. So in the presence of the other participant, Penny called heads, and it was tails. She said, man, I had an opportunity. I see these two foals. I see these two horses. One of them, man, looks good. The other one, I don't know what gene pool it got. But it didn't look anything like its parents. So she was disappointed, and she says, okay, then, you know, she lost again. Looked like another string of what the world calls bad luck. And so I want to say that a horse race can be likened into the race of life. I'll come back into that a little bit later. We'll take off from there, from Penny losing that coin flip for potentially a horse that looked promising, another one that looked like, well, it's going to be a nice horse. And that's about it. 2A, this race only comes into focus. This race that we're in on life only comes into focus through the Word of God. Spiritual gifts are powerful. Dreams, visions, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Those are all awesome things that are part of the body of Christ. I still today, and I believe in these last days, and this generation at least that we live in, are going to be more prevalent. But it will never, ever be the foundation of a church or the body of Christ. The foundation will always be the Word of God. What did Habakkuk say in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3? The race only comes into focus through the Word of God. Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision and inscribe it clearly on tablets so that one who reads it may run. The one who reads it may run. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hurries towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it delays, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay long. Habakkuk talking about this salvation that you and I are walking in, not waiting for, not wanting to experience, not needing to experience, but you and I in Jesus Christ are experiencing right now. It's about the salvation and the grace of God that you and I walk in this dispensation. Amen. The dispensation of the church right now is that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so this thing coming through the Word of God saying, wait for it. Wait for it. When this was written, maybe 600-700 years before Christ came, it said, wait for it, it's coming. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think there's anything else that needs to be revealed other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, there is nothing else to be revealed. There'll be signs and wonders. There'll be things that God reveals to us. But as far as what you and I need in salvation and walking in His strength, we have everything we need, but it has to be accessed by faith and trust in Him. Even when things don't look right or look good, we still have to trust Him. And when we trust Him, God pours out His goodness. God pours out those dreams and those visions. God pours out those experiences in Him. But it's always preceded by faith and trust in Him. The foundation will always be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Do you love His Word this morning? Habakkuk said, wait for it, it's coming. Rooted and grounded in love. 1 Peter 1, 10 through 13. Here's some scripture. We're going to go through some scripture. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Amen. What did he say? Of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. 11. Seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to come. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. In these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Here it is. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Saints, how do we prepare our minds for action? Keep sober in spirit. Set your hope completely on what? On the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Saints, if there's anything we got to make sure that we have a revelation and understanding of, it's the grace of God. It says it right here. It'll be the grace of God that starts your walk. It's going to be the grace of God that gets you to the end. And in between that is the growth into maturity as a mature Christian. Man, you cannot be a mature Christian, I believe, without a clear understanding of God's grace. See, it's the God's grace that tells you when the enemy, who's the accuser of the brethren? It's Satan. When the enemy comes in and accuses you, that's when you can say, no, he's my righteousness. I may have some struggles, but he's my righteousness. Get away from me, Satan. I am not going to listen to your voice. I am walking in his grace by faith. And so it says, what is this going to be revealed? What did they write about all these centuries ago? Well, let me read it again in verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, to walk with Jesus, to trust Jesus, to walk in the gifting and callings that Jesus has in your life. Keep sober in spirit, amen? Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, as I grow in Him, I want a continued revelation of Jesus Christ and who He is. I want to continue to know His kindness, His love for mankind, His ability to set every captive free. I thank God that no matter somebody's background, the blood of Jesus is enough to wash that stain away. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank you that I can forget about those things that are in the past. And Paul said, I forget those things behind me, but I look forward. I press on to the high calling of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. This two-way, this race only comes into focus through the Word of God. Amen. Do you love His Word out there? I love the Word of God. 3A, the race will have some defeats along the ways, some hindrances. That's just the way it is. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 9. I love this scripture. But we have this treasure in earthen containers. That's your body. Your spirit man's in a container. All the containers look different, huh? Some of our lids look different, right? The container. So that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Man, we're always going to walk in this flesh. Even when we're always going to walk in this flesh. What did Paul say in Romans 6? That said, to be dead, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we that are dead to sin continue in it any longer? Man, you know what? What he's saying here is you're in flesh. Your flesh is not born again. It's your spirit, man. And you're renewing your mind, amen, through the word of God. And your flesh, through the Holy Spirit, through the renewing of your mind, is when you say, flesh, you're going to do what I want. You're going to do what the word of God says. But by itself, your flesh is never going to say, yeah. Yeah, well, we're just going to follow with God. No, it's under the renewing of your mind, amen, that your spirit man leads and guides you. It says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Let me tell you, if you feel struck down right now, if you feel perplexed, give that to Jesus. It says that you may be struck down, but you're not destroyed. He's going to lift you up. He's going to restore you. He's going to bless you. His hand is going to be upon you. You know, things that will come our way. Our son, I'll give you a little insight. Our son had Devin, my youngest, had lost like 45 pounds, and that kid is no bigger than a minute already. And as we were away for a few days, and we were with him, and he wants to move on into some things that God has for his life, and all of a sudden he gets sick. He can't eat nothing. In a two-month period, he loses his over 40 pounds. And so as we began to encourage him and pray for him, as everybody where he's going to church and us all this time have been praying for him, then all of a sudden on the way home, we pray for him. And then my mother-in-law calls him and said, hey, a gal from the women's Bible study has a word for you. She gave him that word. Something sprung to life inside of him. He calls us the next day and he says, man, I've been eating a bunch of junk food and I don't feel any ill effects. See, he was perplexed. It felt like he was struck down. You might be there today. You might feel like you're struck down in body in a sickness right now. Or something going on in your life that you may feel like you've been struck down or perplexed. But don't be despairing. Tell yourself by the Spirit of God, I am not destroyed. God has an answer for you. God has a victory for you. God wants to raise you up. I said, God wants to raise you up. It's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Don't let the enemy convince you that you deserve this. Don't let the enemy convince you that you're going to have to get everything perfect before you can come out of that thing that's coming against you. No, it's only going to be by his blood, by his spirit, and put your trust in him that you're going to come out of that anyway. So put your trust in him. Do not give up or give in. Even in those perplexing times, tell yourself, Lord, I'm coming out of this. I don't understand it, but you are my victory in Jesus' name. You are my healing in Jesus' name. You are my righteousness in Jesus' name. This addiction will be broken over my life in Jesus' name. You are more than a conqueror and overcomer. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you have everything you need to be a conqueror and the overcomer. I don't know why he had to go through a couple of months of this, but I know when that word came, something clicked, and it changed. As we prayed for him, many, many times, we could feel something change. The Lord gave him a word. Say, trust me, trust me. And when the Lord spoke that to him, and he grabbed a hold of that, I'm going to trust him. I believe that was broken. The proof being in the pudding. Being able to eat. Oh, trust him. Saints, no matter what's going on, trust him. Pursue him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. And as you put your trust in Him, that He's the one that releases all these experiences. The times where God has revealed things in the spiritual realm to me, it's like, I don't know, it was His timing. It's His timing. I love it. But I look to Him. I don't look to the experience. I look to Him, and He brings the experiences. When you just look to experiences, that's when you get off base from the Word of God, and you can be deceived. But by looking unto Him, the author and finisher of my faith, then the experiences will be given to Him, to me, through Him. And I love when the Lord shows me things in the spiritual realm, through His Word, through spiritual gifts. Amen? Those are still real today. Amen. Let me continue. Remember Secretariat? We're talking about Secretariat? Okay. That's a good story. Let me get back to it. So as Secretariat grew, he came out of his skinny, spindly, clumsy stage. The horse that was obtained by a lost coin flip actually looked pretty good, and it looked like it had some potential. When Secretariat was 2 years old, he began to run some races. In the natural, it looked like a normal, regular racehorse. Wasn't bigger than the others, wasn't taller. But man, as he ran at 2 years old, they said, man, this horse can run. But Secretariat lost his first race. He lost his first race. So all this training and everything, and then, boy, he lost his first race. And they thought, well, you know, maybe he is that spindly foal that we saw. Maybe he's not going to do anything. But then they said, let's let him run some more races. And then he won some races. And he won them by a large margin. So Secretariat got the attention as a potential Triple Crown winner. So all eyes are on Secretariat at the race called the Wood Memorial. It's the race leading up to the Kentucky Derby. That first part, that first leg of the Triple Crown. And so this race, you thought, man, we're going to see what Secretariat's made of, right? And Secret runs like the wind and wins that race. No, that didn't happen. No, that didn't happen at all. Secretariat finished third place. He got skittish and was happy to finish in the pack. See, when he was losing these races, he was okay just to be like other people. This horse is just, I want to finish in the pack. So they tried to get him run. He said, no, I like it back here. I like these other buddies around here. I don't want to be up there with that guy up front. He's alone. See, he wanted to finish in the pack. And you and I today, saints, in a world that sometimes where it seems around us that the pack is just going together. No heart for God. Heart to just to not have any in business, not to have any morals, etc. Sometimes it's easy to want to just be in the middle of the pack. Amen. But you and I are not called to just be in the middle of the pack. Amen. I'm not saying having a I'm holier than thou attitude, but having the Spirit of God in us that we stand for righteousness and truth and honesty and integrity and standing for the Word of God. Amen. You can't stand in the pack anymore and declare those things. You're going to stand out from the pack in this life, in this race called life. Amen. And I tell you, that's okay. You're not noticed if you're in the middle of the pack. But if you're outside the pack, people will notice you. But Secretariat, he'd love being in the pack. All the buddies. And so he had a hard time. He had a hard time winning races or even desiring to win a race. Amen. So what happened here? So Secretariat lost that race, right? He got skittish and he wanted to finish in the pack, and not wanting to be different from the pack can cause people to disappear. Galatians, that's what happened to the church of Galatians. Did you know that? They didn't want to stand up. They started getting pressured, saying, you got to be like the rest of the churches in Jerusalem. You need to follow the law, and you need to be circumcised. In Galatians 5, 6, and 7, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. There's a pressure today in the world that you can't stand up for righteousness or stand up for Jesus Christ or what the Word of God says. But I'm telling you, it's just a day and an age where we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to say, hey, I am standing up for the truth of the Word of God. I don't know about you, but it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Not in anger or resentment, but saying, man, I'm not going the way of the pack. I'm not going to go the way what other people, what media is saying today, what the social platforms are saying. No, I'm going to stand up differently. You, as he says, you were running so well. See, they were being persecuted, saying, man, you've got to line up here. You can't be different. You all need to be circumcised. You need to come into the fold of the rest of the churches. And they were under pressure to do that. And so when the church is under pressure not to stand up for righteousness, not to stand up for God made male and female. Amen? I said God only made male and female. In the beginning, he created them male and female. Amen? So standing up for the truth. God made you the way he made you. God has a purpose in you being a male or female. He's the one that determined your sex. And when you hear people or when you have groups of people saying, no, you get to determine that, that is just idolatry, saying that there's no God and we're going to worship the wisdom of man. And if you look to the book of the Old Testament, when Israel would worship other gods, it did not go well for them. Amen. But for me, through grace, I'm going to stand up for truth, be persuaded by pressure and say, no, we're going to continue to preach that for by grace are you saved through faith. It's only the grace of God that will change your life, regardless what anybody else says, other churches or whatever. We're going to stand up for the truth, not being pressured to have to do anything. So maybe you were running the race well and you got tripped up, maybe hurt from a past relationship. Hurt by church folk. Maybe your job or career hasn't gone the way you would have liked it. But it's not, but let me tell you this, not how you start the race, it's how you finish. It's not too late. It's not too late to say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Lord, I'm giving these struggles to you. Lord, I'm not gonna allow discouragement to keep me down. Say, Lord, I'm going to believe in you, still being with me. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't allow discouragement from the past. You still can still get in the race of life saying, Lord, I love you. There's many people that love the Lord that are not in the race of life because of past mistakes or other people saying that you've done too much. You can't come back to the Lord now. No, God, this is a time and age where God is calling so many people back to his church. To understand his grace and love for them. It's not too late for you to start and get back in the race and trusting him. So Secretary, what did he do in the Kentucky Derby? He starts dead last. Dead last. Remember, he wants to be with everybody else. And this time he starts dead last, but then he ends up winning by 2 lengths. Something started clicking. Something started clicking. He was happy just to be in the pack, just to be surrounded with the other horses, but something clicks, starting dead last and wins by 2 lengths. Wow. And then the next one was the Preakness Stakes. What happened? He starts dead last. And then he wins by 2.5 horse lengths. So two legs of this Triple Crown down. So something, again, he starts last, and then he realized it was never about him not having the ability to win those races. It was about something in his mind, in his heart that hadn't clicked. I pray for you and I that it would click, that we would run the race that God has set out before us in his peace, in his joy, in his strength, in his hope, in trusting him, not giving in or giving up. It's never too late to be a part of the race. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you came from. I don't care the mistakes you've made. It is time to get back in the race. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. And then that third leg was called the Belmont Stakes. He starts out strong. He's not dead last. And he wins that final race by 31 horse lengths. There's never been a Triple Crown race that any horse has won by 31 horse lengths. See, it was the longest race, too. And when it finally clicked, he says, I'm not staying in the pack anymore. He ran with everything within him and blew the doors off of everybody. See, that first, he had lost some races. He'd barely won that first and second race. But finally, he believes, says, man, I got what it takes. I'm telling you, with the Holy Spirit in you, you have what it takes to accomplish anything God puts in your heart. He gives you the desires of your heart, and he's the one that places them there. Amen. Psalms 37. Doesn't matter how the race has gone up to this point. He went from being an average racehorse to being maybe the most famous racehorse there's ever been. Wow. See, he could have given up. Perhaps he should have given up. I love what Isaiah 40, as the worship team comes. Are you still with me? Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah. Do you love him? Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31 says, do you not know? It's a question. Have you not heard? Have you heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. He never becomes weary or tired. Amen? His understanding is unsearchable. Verse 29, he gives strength to the weary. Who gives strength? It's a good time to say, Lord, I need your strength. Amen? It says, he gives strength to the weary. And to the one who lacks might, he increases power. The power of the Holy Spirit. 30, though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. That's the Spirit of God. And waiting upon him to say, Lord, I'm trusting you. During this time where I feel weak, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you, and you're going to strengthen me, you're going to empower me, you're going to help me, and you're going to lead me. Amen? Those are promises of God. See, our race in life can have times of being weary. We can have times of even the appearance of losing. Example, our shortcomings. But I'm telling you, saints, we only lose if we give up. That's what Satan's pressure is. Give up. Give in. You can't get in. You've been disqualified. Colossians 1:12 says that it's God who qualifies you and I. I can't qualify myself. Only putting my faith and trust in him, in the finished work of the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit in me through accepting him as my Savior. He is the one that qualifies me. And when you realize he qualifies you, so many things that hold us down begin to break off, because it's his power. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you know Christ, you have a new spirit and heart. Let me read these. We're almost done. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. It says, moreover, I will give you a new heart. Amen? And put a new spirit within you. Thank you, Jesus. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and bring it about that you will walk in my statutes and carefully and follow my ordinances. Man, he writes those things on our heart. Amen. Let me tell you something that's amazing about this secretariat. Did you know the average race horse heart weighs 9 or 10 pounds? Did you know that? Secretariat's hearts weighed 22 pounds.
Wow.
And it showed up on that last race that went, what, a mile and a half? You couldn't see it on the outside. But when he passed away, they took a picture. I saw a picture of his heart. It was massive. He was like a freak of nature.
Wow.
See, it was right up here that he was held back all that time here. He always had the heart. And I'm telling you, if you know Jesus, you have the heart too. He's given you a new heart. He's given you a new spirit. It's the renewing of your mind and believing here. Amen. The areas where the enemy tricks us. If you know Christ Jesus as your Savior, you have everything you need. You have a heart that is more than big enough. Amen. You have a heart that's more than big enough. Can we stand up together? You have a heart that's already big enough.
Yes.
It's convincing your mind, amen,
yes,
that you are an overcomer in Jesus' name. That you are an overcomer in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, show us today what we have in you already. The heart. The heart of a lion, Jesus, living in us. The lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, lives in me. Amen. I have the roar of a lion inside me. Amen. My heart is every bit, has everything I need as I'm born again. He's given me a new heart. It's getting that right there. The renewing of the mind is through a lifetime. Sometimes the enemy, they can sound good, they can be religious things, but it's things in our mind that have to be washed by the Word of God, washed by the Spirit of God, and we actually have to believe that our heart has everything it needs to change our families, to change our communities, and to change this country. If you feel comfortable enough, can you raise your hands with me and say, Lord, thank you for a new heart. Thank you for the heart that you've given me. Father, thank you for the roar of a lion inside of me, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that I am an overcomer. Lord, I may be perplexed, but you have an answer for me. I may be knocked down, but I have not been destroyed. Amen? We thank you for that, God, as you encourage us, as your Holy Spirit, Father God, as a spirit of encouragement. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we do not walk in discouragement, but walk in faith because your Spirit lives in us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you. Father, we honor you this morning. Father, we honor you this morning. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or if you feel like you need somebody to pray with you this morning, I would love to pray with you. There'll be some others that'll, our prayer team that'll come up, and we'd love to pray with you and agree with you. And if you need to give your heart to the Lord, man, I encourage you, do not wait. Commit your life to Christ today. Oh, how he loves you. Amen?
Yes, he does.
Father, we thank you for this day. Father, as we go today, we thank you for your presence being with us. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives in your children, your strength, the heart that you've given us, Father God, the renewing of our mind that needs to take place. Continue to do that, Father God. Father, we're hungry and thirsty to see what you'll do in this generation, Father God. And we bless you and honor you. We thank you for an awesome Monday. Father God, we thank you for an awesome Monday. Lord, we thank you that we love Mondays. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you for coming.